Hello, divine, beautiful souls. This is Energy Speaks Podcast with your host, Katriel. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for listening to Energy Speaks. It's now year two, essentially, within this series. And, you know, having a lot of cool topics and whatnot. Last year, I was in Florida doing all of my recording, and now I am in the beautiful city of Jerusalem and having the time of my life. I have been studying at the Conservative Yeshiva, for, since January, and, now I'm in a summer program with the CY, and it's been incredible. And from time to time, I get to go to other classes at Yeshivat Simchat Shlomo, which it's very interesting. This summer program that we're having, it has a lot of elements that I felt really connected to Yeshivat Simchat Shlomo. This more deeper spiritual aspects of what they bring to the table. And I'm experiencing this in this program in the CY. And it's very moving. And I'm really finding a deep connection to the semester. A little bit about the classes I'm taking. Let's see here. We're doing Olpan class, which is learning Hebrew, conversational Hebrew, and you know we have a very intense program in the summer where we study 5 days a week Olpan at I think 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours 15 minutes, something like that. And it's to really, accelerate our Hebrew speaking. And I'm in Aleph, which is the beginner level. And I'm learning a lot. And hopefully soon I'll be able to speak some sentences. that's my hope, at least. And then we're going into some other subjects, like Zohar class. Learning about the topic of Zionism. You know, I didn't realize half of the history here, and I'm just like kind of blown away by how even Israel and the idea of Zionism even developed. It's quite fascinating, and honestly, some of it doesn't sit well with me. But hey, you know, Hashem has a divine plan, and, you know, we kind of get to see that that plan unfold before our very eyes with what we do here in the world. Whether, you know, we align with the intentions or not. And then we're doing a tefillah class with chanting and music and then also a spirituality class where we go into some deeper spiritual concepts. And so that's kind of what's going on at the CY right now. And of course our Tanakh class, which is beautiful. Going into kind of like these odd stories within the Tanakh that's even interwoven within, you know, recent parshas. And it's really interesting to draw attention to them. So that's a little bit about what's going on here in Israel. And funny enough, this week I was in Zionism class, and she asked, professor asked, you know, like, what does Zionism mean to you? And then like, what does Israel and all these different things? And so I literally I'm going to go on the Israel part. I literally was like, wow, is real, you know? Like, a lot of times you don't realize the power behind the words that we use and how impactful they are. And in really, you know, like, even in Zohar it was touched upon, you know, like, how powerful words are, and really we're spelling things out. Like, the power of our words are actually allowing for thoughts, feelings, and emotions to be manifested. Which, of course, we've talked about here on the show a lot within past interviews and everything. Well, today I have a specific topic I want to talk about, and I just wanted to ease you guys into, you know, the show and everything, and talk about what is spiritual ethics. And I would love to actually have somebody on the show with me on for this one. So this is probably more so an intro conversation that I'm having with you all today. What is spiritual ethics? Spiritual ethics, I feel, has to do with certain elements being put into place to create the security for all involved. Have you ever been a part of a meditation group or attended, you know, a meditation or even a class? This applies to multiple different things, but I want to take the spiritual layer to this. Let's go with a meditation class, okay? In that class, in this spiritual meditation, you have someone who's guiding, and the first thing that normally a teacher does is set the sacred space. And how is that done? So part of what we're doing here is essentially like an agreement upon all parties. And this is the ethics aspect of things. That when everyone attends the class, we're now in a specific agreement with each other that will allow us to be able to create this space to go into this meditation, essentially. And so, what are the different elements to help create this sacred container, this sacred space? To simply allow for everyone to connect with one another and having a transparent vision for all involved. So, when we enter a meditation, essentially, one, you know that you're there for meditation, correct? And two, you know, like, essentially, you have to feel safe in that space to be able to go into a world that is maybe a little bit foreign to you, you know? Like, when you come into a class for meditation, not everybody's on the same skill level normally. Like, for instance, like a yoga class. I might actually do a yoga meditation class because I feel like this is the easiest way to paint the picture. And so, essentially, by the name of the yoga class that you attend, you kind of know like what you're going to be doing. There's some type of an objective of what is going to be done in the class that allows you to feel like it's going to be of benefit to you. And how the teacher leads is essentially being a guide to you and a step, you know, step by step along the way. And not everybody, you know, not every teacher will, you know, paint a picture of what every single thing you're going to be doing during that class. But in one way or another, the energy is being painted. So maybe, you know, the teacher welcomes you all into the class and some may even start with, hey, introduce yourself. I feel like part of this spiritual ethics is to be able to connect with each person in the room and know that it's safe for you to be vulnerable when you're doing vulnerable things. Because, you know, whether it's a meditation or yoga or both, or even a class where you're talking about deep things, that level of introductory, of like, you know, kind of like meeting each other is really, really important for the journey that you all will take in this particular like class, or, you know, and so what happens is this specific structure that's being painted allows for the spiritual level of things to elevate, because essentially when you open yourself up, your spiritual, you know, realm up within you, like you open your chakras, energy source points, you're essentially going into a vulnerable space. You're allowing other beings access to your sacred space, because essentially, here's a fun fact: our chakras, okay, like our like auric field, I should say, our auric field, when closed down, is actually about 5 feet, 5 to 6 feet out, like radius wise. So it's funny, I'm going to bring a little bit of a Jewish principle here, and I want to link this in on how important the rabbis, when in the rabbinical tradition of how they recognized, you know, certain rules and regulations, the halakha, of why things are the way they are, it was because they were setting sacred containers, and the explanation is very clear to me. So, for instance, when someone is praying the Amidah is the central prayer within our prayer service, and it's allowing for us to open up our chakras up, okay, our energy up, our being up to the Most High. And the only way to pray this prayer is having 10 souls, okay, in the room. Now, we're just going to stick with that, okay? It's 10 souls in the room. This cannot be accessed without these 10 souls. Like, this specific level of energy that is spoken about, you know, within our tradition, like these higher spiritual concepts, until the 10 energies are coming together, which again, definitely near the Sephiroth. And so these 10 coming together, well, one thing that's clear is everybody has the same prayer that they're praying, right? Okay, we're just talking about the central portion here, right? Of this opening up, right? So that middle piece is where we end up, and it's the climax of the prayer event. Well, we can't just jump into a level of spirituality, this most heightened part of our service, at the very beginning. That would make no sense. That's like coming into a movie theater and walking in and in the middle of a movie, and you're now going to sit there and have intense feelings and be completely immersed into this movie at the climax. That makes no sense. Actually, at that point, I would feel more deterred from going into the movie because of the fact that I had missed all of the things. I wouldn't feel like watching the movie at all. I would feel very agitated, essentially. Well, that's exactly what happens when we don't set the stage for us to do deeper spiritual things, you know, within a particular container. Now, let me go back to a reference that the reason I even brought this into the picture is we are to be 10 feet. Okay, I'm sorry. I said that. I think it said like 10 feet radius is what the rabbis carved out. If I'm wrong on the specifics, I apologize, but I do believe I read 10 feet radius for you know, when someone's davening this prayer, this central portion, the Amidah, they're not to be in a 10-foot radius of the other person. And that I find that so interesting. Now, I've not seen that completely upheld, but it is mentioned. And I feel like it's mentioned in a very, very important way, because essentially what's going on here is we're opening up our energy source point here, our chakra, our auric field, and we're going up to another level of consciousness, okay? And what that does is, I don't know if you've ever heard of dowsing rods. My mentor from England had these, and what it did is when we did Aurasoma work, if I ever spoke about the Polmander and the Quintessence, the Polmander is what allows for your energy source points to kind of not be closed down necessarily, but to have a shield around it where it's at its most closed point. That doesn't mean you're closed off to spirituality. It just means that you're conscious of not opening yourself up to other energies, essentially. Well, the Quintessence is what allows you to open things up. And what happens is, this dowsing rod, if you were to put it near someone that has literally did a Polmander, it would come all the way in. Now, if you were to use the Quintessence, what would happen is your energy, like auric field, the dowsing rods would show that it's completely expanded, okay? And that's exactly what we do within the middle of a meditation, within the middle of a prayer, is we're elevating the soul to another level of consciousness that can be recognized You know, in the physical world, but also in these other levels of consciousness of other worlds. In Judaism, we have the different worlds known as like essentially like the physical world, which is Asiya, the emotional world, which is associated with Yetzira, the intellectual world, the mental world, which is Bina. I'm sorry, Bria. Sorry. And then the spiritual world, which is Asilut. And then beyond that is this energy of the Ein Sof. It's something so large that it's essentially isness and nothingness at the same time. And so as we come back in and we paint this picture of what are essentially the spiritual ethics here, what are some expectations is literally to create this sacred container, to simply allow everyone to connect with one another and having a transparent vision for all involved. Essentially, that means a structure, or a syllabus, speaking out, you know, the intention in the class, and then also a kind of a roadmap of where we're going. And I feel like that's so important for someone, especially if you're going to do deep level work, that you know where you're going within the sacred space. Otherwise, you're not going to be, either you're going to have someone who is a risk taker in a sense, that is like, okay, I'll go wherever. And honestly, that runs into some issues because they don't know to come down. They've now just elevated themselves so high that they're no longer present in this physical world. And what that results into is the same frequency that's done in experimenting. We're talking about this type of experimenting energy that can even lead to drugs, okay? I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but I'm just saying that's the same parallel here when we don't have certain elements in place. Is we get things like cults, you know, we get a lot of different ugly energies because we didn't have a clear vision of where we're going. And I think that's really important. And I'm a little bit heated about this because I've been in many, many spiritual, places. Groups where I've seen a lot of unethical spiritual behavior. And I'm not saying that they're bad beings. I'm saying that this was not put into place, whether they didn't realize that what these concepts are and how important they are, because they're still learning themselves, or if it was intentional. I don't know the answer to these. I can't judge. But I can say from the places that I've been to, the experiences that I have had, this is such a important message that I'm very passionate about teaching. Now, what else? So, part of this is to have certain elements or exercises to ease someone into the flow within the container. So, kind of like in a class, first day of school, you get a syllabus. And I feel like, you know, this is like a perfect example. You get into class, it's the first week of class, and this is when they read off the syllabus to you. This is your this is the teacher's expectations for you. And this is the teacher expressing, these are the concepts that we're going to be, that I'm going to be teaching in this class and that we're going to be walking through. And if this is something that does not align with you, then essentially there's the door. and for those who align with this vision that I have for the class, then let's go deep. Let's really get into this energy. I feel like at that point, you now have an agreement of, okay, this aligns with me or this doesn't align with me, and I leave or I stay. And then I know the clear vision of where the teacher is wanting to take the class. And the questions that I ask during this particular class will allow for what I can see that can allow me to move closer to my vision for the class. Or, you know, or maybe that is not the right space for that. It allows for that. And so then the different, you know, exercises, the elements, the different classes within that semester allows for this easy flow of energy, okay, and open communication with the teacher. And so that's really important for people to be able to talk about certain things in a class, especially, for instance, maybe a Musar class. Anybody know what Musar is? Musar is about the topic about talking about the soul. So if you're in a class where you're talking about the soul and you want to know what's going on in this class, the teacher's going to tell you at the very beginning, right? And then maybe in a class, there's a specific topic. Like, say we're talking about compassion. And so that is going to bring up a lot of energy in that class where maybe even starting off with examples of where you've found compassion in your life, right? Like people being compassionate to you. But you wouldn't start off with something very, very deep at the very beginning. You would want to start off very light and then move into where have you had to have compassion for yourself or another? You know, and then you start working this energy, and also the classmates are sharing their vulnerable secrets with you. And you're sharing that with them. You wouldn't be able to have that sacred space unless you had that initial conversation of what the class is going to be about. And then you had these tiny exercises allowing for you to get to those vulnerable spaces within yourself and be transparent with them. And then you can really go deep. Then you can really take, essentially, going back to the idea of a meditation, you can open up and expand yourself and really even maybe have a really intense, powerful moment with you and Hashem. You and the universe. And then it comes to a place of like this silence. And then you work back through that energy of stepping backwards, essentially, of saying, okay, I did this, and I'm stepping away from building more and more and more on this energy. Because essentially, and what I mean by that specifically, is it's kind of like a movie. You have, let's just say there's five acts. You have a beginning, kind of painting the picture. You go a little bit deeper, you find out a little bit more information, and then you go super deep, and then you kind of step back out a little bit because it's starting to sum up the plot of the movie. There's going to be you're going to find some resolution, and then you're going to be able to close out and be able to say, okay, all right, wow, I went deep in that class. And that leads me to a space that has been eased into naturally for growth of deeper subjects. I apologize, I didn't say the previous thing, but maybe I did. So essentially, I'm going to go back through what I just painted the picture of, okay? So that we get clear understanding of what the picture I'm painting here. What is spiritual ethics? Certain elements put into place to create security for all involved. How to create a sacred container? To simply allow everyone to connect with one another and having a transparent vision for all. Having a structure, a syllabus, or even speaking out what these specific elements are. To have certain elements or exercises to ease someone into the flow within the container. And then a space that has been eased into naturally for the growth of deeper subjects. Then an exercise to ease us out of the deeper or elevated topics, a transition, so that when you walk out of that class, you're not feeling heavy, you're not feeling, you know, all of these tense emotions, that you're able to start the process of essentially like detaching from what you just experienced and leaving it in that space only. Kind of like what you would do with a therapist. You know? And then, finally, closing out the activity that allows for the sacred space to be acknowledged and able to feel welcomed back into the space. So after you've closed out that energy, you're able to feel safe enough to come back into that same energy for the next class, for the next experience you have with this type of energy. I don't know if you noticed, even while I was doing this episode, I felt it really, really important to set up this type of structure. We started off with a little bit of an intro, a little bit about the past episodes, and then we spoke about, like, what's going on currently? And then what's really on my heart? And then I spoke louder because I got more passionate about what I was speaking about. And then as I'm speaking this out, I'm speaking out this outline. After I've told you the intention of the show, and then I've stepped back from the amount of energy I'm putting out of even talking. So I would love to hear your thoughts on the subject. I feel like it's a very important subject, a powerful subject, that probably has many opinions. And I would also like to know, would this class, would a class that I create in regards to this be impactful? Would it be important to you? Does any of this resonate? So please, if you have a chance and you feel something on your heart, about this subject, please contact me. My email is Kevin, KevinDeWitt, 1107 at gmail.com. Or you can go to my website, energyspeaksbycotriel.com. And when you go to the podcast, you can even send me an email from there. It's under chakra services. And then another option is on Facebook Messenger. I have Energy Speaks a page where you can message me directly, or you can reach out to Cotriel DeWitt on Facebook Messenger. I really would love to hear your thoughts and other thoughts for more episodes. And if you ever feel guided to be on Energy Speaks podcast, please reach out as well. I love you all, divine, beautiful souls, and really, I really hope you have a beautiful week, and I send you many, many blessings. That is this week's podcast with Energy Speaks. Over and out. Shalom.